The 10 o'clock hour of Williams House. With Gabe Neitzel is our cousin sub of the day. Begins now. I want to hit on a couple things, and I want to get to Brian somewhat on time as Brian Bulaga joins us coming up. First, I think I just want to emphasize that, and Gabe, I know you're the same way. We spend a lot of time talking about people losing their jobs, and that is part of the deal.
Mm-hmm.
These guys make millions upon millions of dollars. They get criticized, all that stuff. That's why they get paid the big bucks. My only caution is, and it's not a reason to keep a guy, right? Well, you could always do worse. No, that's a terrible, that's a polluted mindset, as Mike McCarthy would say. I am not in the same place, and it's not because I'm not in that photo. Not because I drank beer with Matt LaFleur. It's not because I like him as a guy. It's because I think he's a good coach. Now, you're entitled to your opinion to say, no, I don't think he is. Or you don't think he's a good big game coach. Or you don't think he's bold enough. Or you think he's too emotional. Or whatever it might be. I think Brian Gutekunst is a good GM. I don't think he's as good as he gets credit for. In part because we all assume that Jordan Love is great, and I think Jordan Love is really good. But I don't know how great he is. I want to see what Jordan Love in year six as a starter looks like. Because in year three, he's quite good. No one thinks he stinks. But we do have this kind of birthright mentality of, well, the next guy's just going to be a great player too, because the other two were. I don't know if that's true. He did the bold thing of getting Micah Parsons. Let's see what he does now that he has two guys making quarterback money and how he manages his cap and what his roster looks like. Because I can guarantee you there will be some players that they will not pay that they would pay if they had the funds to do so and the cap space. So I think that we're on the – I don't know what's going to happen this year. I stand by my position that I think they – go down to Chicago and beat the Bears, then they lose the divisional round. I'm certainly open to being wrong on that. But I think we stand on a pretty interesting precipice.
If they beat the Bears,
precipice.
Jason? Yeah. If they beat the Bears, I think this is a moot point. Because then they, hey, you were beat up, but you still want a playoff game.
Yes!
Maybe they have another competitive outing the way they did against the Niners when they were in the divisional round 2 years ago. And Goody and LaFleur get their extensions and... You know, they go on to the offseason trying to build this team and improve around the edges. But again, it is the way everything went on Saturday. This one of my favorite Homer sayings is you can be bad, you can't be embarrassing. Saturday was embarrassing.
It was.
Now, we can probably wipe away whatever happens on Sunday. It seems like, and again, we'll probably get a better idea tomorrow. After they practice and LaFleur talks to the media of who they're going to play and not going to play. But no, it's going to be basically a preseason game, so who cares what happens in it. But if you have another embarrassing effort, especially defensively, because that Bears team can run the football, Jason. They can run the football.
They can, yeah.
And if they decide to run the football, I don't expect them to have 307 yards, but if they get up over 150, get to 170, 180 yards, and you lose that game, then you're okay. So you got embarrassed in a game that meant something because you still could have won the division in week 17. And then you got to the wild card round and you got embarrassed again. And then it really becomes open for discussion what's going to happen on that following Monday or Tuesday if they happen to put Packers Bears on Monday night.
Which, by the way, again, also adds to the we are constantly and I am leading the charge. Talking about how star-spangled phenomenal Jeff Hafley is. We're going to fire Matt LaFleur because the defense fell apart at the end of the season then? That's our plan. Okay. But then we have to at least reevaluate Jeff Hafley, who I have been as guilty of this as anyone, talking about how great he is. Right now, thanks to how that played out, their numbers look a lot like Jeff, like not Jeff Hafley, but more like Joe Barry.
Don't
where
do
they're
it.
Sitting
Don't.
Right now.
I knew it was true, Jason. I just didn't want to hear you say it out loud.
I know you didn't.
Because I
knew
yeah.
you didn't.
If you go back, look at Joe Barry's final season, the numbers are eerily similar to this season.
They are?
It's true.
We got more to get to. We got Brian Bulaga to get to. I need to remind you, even though Tausch isn't here, we've got Pella Windows and Doors as well, and we have ensured that our home remains comfortable before each and every brutal post-holiday winter. Yes, Santa Claus may be magical, but his elves aren't quite qualified to build Pella Windows. So, there's just too many options and too many customizations. Instead of going through the big red guy, take advantage of this Pella deal. 0% interest for 24 months. Certain restrictions do apply. That ends on New Year's Eve, so you got one more day to give Gina Della and the team a call, or just go to PellaWI.com to find out more. More Wilde and Tausch with Gabe Neitzel, our cousin sub, coming up next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Getting ready for Brian Bulaga. You should also get ready to get a better night's sleep. Get into Steinhoffel's and test rest a Beauty Rest Black mattress for your chance to win a dream vacation to Hawaii. And right now you'll save up to $700 on adjustable base sets, plus get up to $300 in Steinhoffel's cash. But wait, there's more. You can also get a queen Beauty Rest Black mattress for just $38 a month with Steinhoffel's 60-month financing. So save big and rest easy on a new Beautyrest Black from Steinhoffel. Shop in-store or online at steinhoffels.com. All right, Gabe, I have one question from the YouTube section of the program that I want to touch on, and then we will move forward and get to Brian Bulaga. And it is this.
Okay.
Kaz 2486. I don't know why those... Maybe he's born on February 4th, 1986. We wouldn't even be talking about all this had the key injuries not occurred, but all of a sudden there's a terrible team. Well, first of all, no one's saying it's a terrible team. They certainly played terrible run defense on Saturday night. But as I responded to him, every time I try to bring up Parsons and Tucker Kraft's injuries, what do I get? Every team has injuries, right? That's what it's reflexive, Pavlovian. But here's what I would argue, and look, I am not a quarterback controversy guy. I'm not at all. But I would argue that if you told me I had to lose one out of the three, Tucker Kraft, Jordan Love, or Micah Parsons, I think there's a chance that I would be willing to say, okay, I guess I have to, if you're going to make me choose one, I guess I have to pick the quarterback. Because I think that the backup is the better alternative than the other backups for those other two guys who I think were irreplaceable. Am I a complete idiot?
I would say Tucker Kraft. Because this offense was still operating at a high level without him, thanks to the return of Christian Watson playing some of the best football.
Good point.
That it's not just some of the best. It is the best football that he has played. And I think that the passing offense, well, obviously, it would be better with Tucker Kraft in there. The emergence of Christian was helping mitigate that loss. And yes, it was looking different than it would have had Tucker Kraft stayed healthy. But I think that they were on their way to potentially navigating it. And again, the big what if is, what if he comes up with that pass in Denver instead of having, I mean, probably the only guy in the league who can make that interception. What if that ends up being a completion? What if it ends up being if Jordan Love puts a yard or two more air underneath it? And I'm not saying it was an inaccurate pass. It was a pass 50 yards downfield.
I understand.
It was a pretty good pass. But if he puts another air underneath it and he hits him in stride and it's a touchdown, they probably win that game, and we do feel a little bit differently. So I think the offense was trending in a pretty good direction, even though they would have undoubtedly been better with Tucker Kraft in there as well. But I think they were finding ways to move on without him.
Jesse, tell us about Coors Light so we can... Why does this do this? So we can get to Brian Bulaga.
I don't know about Jesse. I don't know what you're talking about, because it's Mark Tauscher here for the Blue Mountains of cold, refreshing Coors Light. Whether you're tailgating pregame, enjoying your experience during the game, celebrating a big win after the game, or you just need a moment to chill, crack open a Rocky Mountain cold Coors Light. Oh, just like me out here at the when we were on vacation earlier this year. Coors Light, brewed with a three-step cold process, cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged, so it's actually made to chill. The mountains on Coors Light's cold-activated bottles and cans turn blue when chilled to perfection, which, besides the refreshing taste, is my, Mark Tauscher's, favorite thing about drinking Coors Light. Refreshingly cold and only 102 calories, Coors Light, made to chill. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, a Golden, Colorado.
Brian Belaga joins us next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
He's our famous friend. I miss the old music, at least during this portion of the program. Joining us now, everybody's favorite Florida farmer. America needs farmers, and they need oranges and donkeys. And this show needs Brian Belaga. Brian, I heard something very troubling about you that we need to talk about.
Oh boy!
Yeah,
let's hear
yourself.
It.
I heard a rumor. Now again, consider the source. And the source is Jesse. Whoa! Hey!
Not the most reliable source, but continue.
What bowl game are the Iowa Hawkeyes in?
The ReliaQuest, I believe.
Okay. And the ReliaQuest Bowl, where's that played?
Raymond James, the old Outback Bowl. I've played in that bowl before.
That's in Tampa, Florida. How far are you from Tampa?
From Raymond James, about an hour and some change with traffic.
Okay.
Going north is bad these days.
Okay. All right. I heard that you weren't going because it's too cold.
Yeah, that's 100% correct.
I heard Chewy was complaining about how it was 51 degrees down there today.
Yeah, it's currently 50 degrees, and the wind is about at 25 to 30 miles an hour. It's no fun. It's no fun to be outside.
Just so if I may clarify, you grew up in the greater Chicagoland area.
I did. Correct.
You played your college football at Iowa.
Correct.
You spent the vast majority of your decorated National Football League career with the Green Bay Packers.
Correct.
You played on an offensive line where you basically were shamed if you wore sleeves in bitterly cold weather.
Correct. Also correct. Yes.
My question for you, Brian Belaga, is what the hell happened to you, man? What happened?
Well, I mean, it's a listen, tomorrow it's supposed to be even colder than it is today.
Oh, no.
And you know, sitting outside when I could be at home and on the couch watching the game in 4K with maybe a beverage warm in my house, cheering on the Hawkeyes. That to me just sounds a little bit better. I don't know. You know, I mean, it's just being out in the cold to watch a game that, you know, it's not like you're in Green Bay. You know, you're not in Iowa watching the game. You're not at Kinnick. You're at Raymond James. It's supposed to be 70 degrees, sunny, maybe a nice breeze off the Gulf. It's the opposite of that. It's frigid temperatures. New Year's morning, it's supposed to be in the 30s. That's not even including wind chill. So, like, no, I don't want to go sit outside. I don't want to go outside. Yeah, I don't want to sit outside. I'm not even playing golf. I can't even play golf.
I think we need to have a serious consideration about revoking Brian Bulaga's Iowa privileges for a substantial amount of time. They're playing a game an hour outside his backyard. That's one of the only chances they're going to be that close to you, because Lord knows they don't even make it to the bowl game that good that often, and you're not even going to go see them 1 hour from your house.
Jesse, you can't. Wisconsin hasn't been close to a bowl the last 2 years. You can't be talking trash like that.
Wow. Neither has Brad. Exactly. I mean, you're talking trash about Iowa, who's been to a bowl game almost every year since I can remember. Wisconsin can't even get 5 wins.
Northwestern fans showed out pretty well in Detroit on December 26th for whatever the hell that bowl game was last week.
Indoors.
You also inside.
Indoors.
I'd be wearing shorts to the game tomorrow if I was going to it, if I was you.
I wouldn't recommend it. I wouldn't recommend it. I mean, it's cold. That's all I'm saying. Like, listen, I prefer the comfort of my home to watch the game when it's this type of temperature out. Like, I just do. I mean, I'm sorry. It's just one of those things these days. And, you know, I mean, I'm sorry. You can revoke my Iowa card, I can't sit here and argue the fact that my blood has thinned out. I will say that for sure. Mm. But that doesn't mean I don't support the team and the university. I'm certainly going to watch and enjoy my team, Jesse, playing in a bowl game in January, late January as well. Late January. Those were when the good teams play, Jesse. They play in late January, and they're not losing guys to the portal like another university.
Sounds like you've become a spoiled, rotten Iowa fan is what I'm hearing. That's what this sounds like.
Hey, I love what they do year in and year out. I'm a Kirk Ferentz guy. You know what you're going to get every year. It's reliable. It's trusty. And, bowling again. Why not?
In all seriousness, and then we'll get to real football, I just want to make sure. We're not revoking your Midwestern boy card. We're not. Jesse has no authority to do that. Are you way softer when it comes to cold weather? Like, if you come up to visit your parents, or you and Abby come up for something Packers related, whatever it might be, are you just way softer now because of your blood thinning out and what you've become accustomed to down there?
Certainly not used to the frigid temperatures. It's not something that I'm accustomed to these days. You know, I mean, I'll be honest. I woke up this morning, so I had to get my car serviced, you know, so I had to wake up early, get the workout in. I stepped outside and I did not like what I felt. It was not a good feeling, and the wind was blowing. And yeah, I mean, it just, your blood thins out. You get accustomed to that sunshine hitting your face, and it's nice and warm. And yeah, I mean, you just get used to it. And when you step into anything 50 and below, it shocks the system. It is a shock to the system. Then to spend 3.5 hours out in it. And if I'm going to spend 3.5 hours out in the cold, it means I'm going to have to drink cold beer. And that's just like adding on top of the cold. And it's just hard to do. It's just hard to do.
It's compounding coldness there.
Yes, exactly. Right, there it is, right there.
Blue, when it comes to actual football for the Green Bay Packers, we've spent a little bit of time today talking about Kingsley Engabare, who called out some teammates, said the effort wasn't good enough on defense in the game, and I think anybody who watched that game would agree after giving up 307 yards rushing. But how do players react to that? When another player steps up and goes, hey, our effort wasn't good enough tonight, how do players inside the locker room react to that?
Well, you know, I think this is one of those cases of it happening directly after a game when that happened. You know, I mean, I believe that was the case, right? It happened in the locker room right after the game.
Yes.
I think is what the report says.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not too sure how many guys are going to be turned on to listen, to be honest. Like, I mean, I'm just being dead honest. Like, right, especially guys on the defense, they know what just happened out there. They got pushed around, to say the least. And now someone's going to stand up and tell them it wasn't good enough when they probably know it wasn't good enough. I'm not, like, the message is true. It's not like it's not true, but I'm just not sure how well guys would receive it in the moment. Call-out sessions normally happen today, and things like that normally would happen today as everyone's sitting down and watching this together and going over, or yesterday, well, today's Monday, so it'd be yesterday, and going over, or today's Tuesday, geez, I'm so messed up. Going
Must
over
be all that cold weather down there that's really throwing
yeah.
you off.
It's frigid 48-degree temperatures, yeah.
Sorry, it's Tuesday. So that would have happened a couple days ago, like on Sunday. When
it happened on Sunday,
film.
Yes, sir. Yep.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So that would be when those types of, I guess, speeches, at least from what I remember, would take place, right? I mean, the only few times I've ever had someone stand up in a locker room and give something like that after a game was when we were winning an NFC championship, and that was like Charles Woodson and things like that, right? Like, normally the call-outs happen the day after, and that's because you let guys digest things and you let them watch the film and you let them see, and then you go over it. To call out effort right away, you got to wait and see what's on tape to do that. At least in my two cents.
All right, so you watched the tape. Mm-hmm. Also, another former Chicagoland prep star who then played at Iowa and is now a Packer, Lucas Van Ness, was the one who basically told us, not basically, he did, told us that Kingsley Enagbare had said this and that he agreed with him. And I would also add that no one should be or is questioning the effort level of Kingsley Enagbare or Lucas Van Ness, both of whom played far more snaps than Rashawn Gary did. And I don't think that this was intended at only one person, but I find myself wondering if someone who taps out in key moments, who doesn't appear to be running especially fast in a lot of instances, when Evan, not Cohen and not Liam Cohen, but Evan Williams also hints at this having been an issue, not specifying anyone. When Matt LaFleur is given the opportunity to defend Rashawn Gary and does not, when a follow-up question is asked, is he sick or is he dealing with an injury, and Matt LaFleur says no, and then there's like a pause where, like, I think we were all expecting him to say something more, and then he realized none of us were asking a follow-up, so then he said more. I find myself wondering if, I'm not saying it's for an audience of one, but here's a guy that makes considerably less than Rashawn Gary, appears to play harder than Rashawn Gary, played more snaps than Rashawn Gary, is going into a free agency year. I find myself wondering if maybe he was just really pissed off at Rashawn Gary. I don't know that. I did not talk to Kingsley Enagbare, and had Lucas Van Ness not mentioned this, none of us would have known about it. So when I put together that, all that stuff, it just makes me wonder, am I wrong to feel that way?
I don't think you're wrong to feel that way. And honestly, so when you're calling out effort, right, mm-hmm. like, and you call out someone's effort on the field, like, that's, like, you can call out bad play and things like that, and guys normally don't take that personally, because if you play bad, you play bad, right? Like, I mean, it's pretty obvious to see on film if you play bad. But to call out effort is very direct, right? Like, that's very specific, and that's normally something that should never be in question. Like, calling out effort should never be in question with NFL players. So clearly there's something that is happening internally with that they feel very strongly about that, right? And that to me is a telling sign, but kind of an alarming one, honestly. Mm-hmm. Because as there were, you know, instances in the game that, yeah, you would think that Rashawn normally makes that play, or he at least affects that play or things like that that you would see on tape, and you would expect a guy like him to come out and play a certain way. And there were just instances that, yeah, maybe that wasn't 1,000% like he normally is. Like, he's normally reckless abandon, at least from what I remember playing against him as when he was a rookie. So yeah, maybe they are extremely frustrated, and maybe it's directed at one person. If you're going to direct it at one person, that's normally a conversation that you have mm-hmm. in that outside linebacker or defensive end room. Sorry, now it's four downs mm-hmm. in that DN room. And that normally takes place the day after. And that's when you have a kumbaya with that, because in all my time there, and we had guys that were very vocal, right? And it could have been the highest paid guy, which was Aaron, and normally guys that weren't the highest on the totem pole didn't say much, right? They would at least save their opinions till the next day or in the meeting room where it was mm-hmm. with their peers and their position group. Though, like, it normally happened for us in our O-line room. I'll just speak to our O-line room. It would take place in our O-line room, right? If something wasn't good enough, if someone wasn't good enough, or they thought guys were, you know, intentionally weren't giving effort, that got settled in that room. Like, that's where that happened. It never really – and it wouldn't leak out to media. I'll just put it that way. Like, that didn't happen. And guys didn't speak about it either. It's not like I'm saying that we would go then in the you know, our media time and say, hey, we had an issue and we called out everyone for their effort. You just normally kept those things in-house. At least mm-hmm. that's the way we would always do it in that room. Now, clearly, I think Matt said that Enagbare gave a speech after the game, right? And I don't know if he gave the details of the speech, but then obviously you learned from Van Ness that it was about effort. So to me, there's clearly a little bit of a, I don't even know how to put it. There's a little bit of a conflict going on within the defense. And if there's one thing that has been very evident from Halfley's defense, it has not been a lack of effort. We'll just put it that way. Like mm-hmm. that's one of the that defense flies around the field like any, like pretty much the best defenses in the league, right? Everyone's around the ball. There's normally three or four guys always, like, effort was never a question. So to hear that word come up is a little bit alarming to me, especially with where we're at in the season right now, right? Like, I mean, we're obviously the division's gone, or the NFC North is gone. Going to be the seventh seed, and to be talking about effort right now, that's not a good thing, and it makes me wonder: is it directed at one person?
Did you see? Like, Matt LaFleur said that they had assignment and alignment mistakes, which A, I can't believe happened in week 17. B, I can't believe you did it against a guy that is capable of making you pay the way Derrick Henry is capable of doing. So he's a Hall of Fame player, for God's sake.
Yeah.
But when you watched the tape, did you find yourself, I'm not asking you to out anyone specifically, but did you find yourself saying, boy, that's not, that effort does not look like what I would expect? Did you have moments of that when you watched the tape?
Yeah, I mean, there were moments that I thought, this does not look like it normally does, for sure. I mean, there's no doubt. And listen, it's always one of those things where if you beat a team down enough in the run game, that's going to be the effort you see, right? Like, that's just the truth of it. When you body blow a defense enough, that is what you're going to see. But at the same time, it was a 3-point game at one point in this thing towards the end of it, and you would think mm-hmm. that the effort level would be out of the roof, that, hey, we've played so bad, but we could still get away. Like, we could get out of this thing with a win if we make a couple stops. And, yeah, I mean, it was on tape that it just seemed like there wasn't the same energy that you'd seen from this Halfley defense week in and week out, even shorthanded against the Bears when Micah wasn't there. That defense was still all over the place. Guys were making plays. There was tons of effort everywhere all over the field. Like, that was never a question. This game, it just seemed a little bit different. It just seemed like there wasn't that edge that they normally play with. And I don't know what you contribute that to. I don't know what there's no excuse for it. That's certainly the case. But when everything's on the line, and obviously Chicago loses in San Francisco, and if you win that game, here you are. You're playing in the last week of the season to win this thing. That's a head scratcher for me. It just doesn't make any sense. And that's something that has to be rectified, because if that's going to be the way it looks this week and then in week one of the playoffs, I'm not trying to be like the Debbie Downer here of Wilde and Tauscher on the Tuesday edition, but like, if that's going to be the way it looks, and if this thing's going to, it's going to be a short exit. Like, I'm just being honest, like in my
right.
experience, like
yeah.
if the team plays that way, and like, there's been times where, I mean, I don't really remember this as a player, but like, if things aren't clicking on one side of the ball or the other, normally what happens when you get into the playoffs is it goes the same exact way, right? Like, as the trend has been, and giving up a 300 something yards, and most likely your first round opponent's going to be a team that likes to run the ball, and that's going to be Chicago or Philly, the trend will look very similar. And to me, like, that's why they need to figure out this week, how do we rectify whatever issue we saw, whether that's effort, whether, as what Matt said, that's assignment and alignment, which I just, week 17, assignment and alignment, that's like stuff you'd say week one or two. Mm-hmm. So, like, to me, that's not really a, especially Halfley. Like, Halfley is, like, that defense is very on point. So to say assignment and alignment, I just, like, that just kind of doesn't make a ton of sense. And I know Matt's going to, obviously, he's not throwing anyone under the bus. He's not going to do that publicly, and I get that. But assignment alignment when Lamar Jackson's not in the game, that's not.
When you knew what they were going to do?
Yeah, that's not going to be, I'm sorry, like, I don't think that's the case. I think there were clearly some effort issues, and that's what they're getting to the bottom of it this week, because they have to.
All right, Brian, you were kind enough to do this, even though you weren't scheduled to appear, and then we teased you for being soft. Ooh. In the cold weather.
Yeah. Wait. He did you guys a favor. And that's the way you treated our guy Blue to start the show?
Yeah, I mean, don't get it twisted. He deserved it. I mean,
what?
I'm willing to apologize. So,
I mean,
so Brian, do you want us to let you go, or did you want to come back for a little bit more?
Oh, we could. I mean, listen, we could talk a little bit more, because I think there's plenty to
discuss.
Don't
feel pressure, Blue. Don't. I mean, if people are going to treat you like this, right? You can't reward this type of behavior.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm gonna be a good sport, and because just to kind of spite Jesse, you know, he comes on here, he attacks me right away.
Fly to Arizona to see him in the Rate Bowl if it's 65 and sunny, as opposed to seeing him in your backyard at 48 degrees? Like, that's preposterous.
Well, yeah, I mean, well, listen, I mean, my brother's in Arizona, so I'd go visit my brother.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
you
so
would
like,
rather fly,
you know,
across the country than go see him an hour away because it's 48 degrees outside. Oh.
Okay, you're not helping. He already agreed to stay. Stop.
I mean,
just quit while we're behind.
It's really unbelievable how I get ridiculed for not going to see a game when I'm going to watch it on TV. Yeah. Like, I don't understand what the big deal. Gosh dang, Jesse, yeah. I know you haven't been to a bowl game in a long time. I get it, but like,
you know,
just settle down.
You know the last bowl game
just
we were in?
Down.
The Reliant
no,
Quest Bowl.
Yeah.
Now,
I mean,
there's some irony.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was probably nice and warm. I guess if I had to take a guess, it was probably nice and warm, and you really enjoyed your Tampa trip. If I had to take a guess.
All right. We're gonna let Brian go turn on his fireplace. And then we'll have a couple more questions for him before we let him go. He deserves to be treated better, and you deserve to be treated better by your bank. That's why you need to make the switch to Associated Bank. We tell you all the time about their great customer service. On top of all that, You can show your Packers colors, your Badgers colors, or your Brewers colors as well with your checking account. So go to AssociatedBank.com to find out more. More with Brian Bulaga next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Continuing with Brian Bulaga being bullied by Jesse Nelson, and yet he, because this is the kind of guy he is, he may not be tough enough for the cold, but he's tough enough to put up with Jesse. Brian, when you watched the tape, what did you see that really jumped out? Like, somebody's going to have to explain to me what. And Sean Ryan, who has been great about with us with the media, got a bunch of votes in the Tom Mulhern stand-up guy award balloting. He left without speaking to reporters and declined interviews after he snapped a ball off of Malik Willis's face while he was trying to can the play. That was not a good moment. But what stood out, besides our discussion that we had about effort, what else stood out about this game? Because I thought offensively, you know, a third time this year they didn't punt and they lost?
Yeah.
What do you make of what you saw, and where do we go from here?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I mean, what stood out to me, obviously, I mean, I'm going to have a positive side. I thought, like, Malik Willis is a pretty good quarterback. Like, to me, that's, like, what stands out, like, from the positive side of this thing. Like, I think I continue to be impressed with him, right? Like, I think, you know, he gets put in situations that aren't really great situations when he does have to play, right? Like, I mean, and I get when your starter goes down, it's never a good situation, but he gets put in when, hey, we're relying on you to go win us the division and keep us in this race to be a 2 or 3 seed and or against the Bears and in Chicago and this and that, and he continues to go in and play well. It's not like he got put in as the starter and they're playing, you know, the worst team in the league. He's playing a team that's actually fighting for their playoff lives in Baltimore, and he does a good job. So, like, to me, that's what stands out about, you know, the positive side of this thing. And, you know, offensively, obviously the game plans are always going to be a little bit different when it's Jordan and Malik Willis. But I think Matt allowing Malik Willis to throw the football more and kind of be more positive in that area is something that was fun to watch, to be honest with you, because normally when Willis goes in, as we saw last year, and I think a little bit of Chicago too, it was a lot of, you know, ground and pound, and he had options to run, and we actually saw him throw the ball a lot more, which I – enjoyed, and you saw that side of his game that I think probably has improved a lot since he's been in Green Bay, coming from Tennessee and kind of that scheme to this one now, and so that was fun to watch, and obviously he's gonna be gone and he's gonna get paid a lot of money from somebody. I mean, that's gonna be the case. But offensively, there's ups and downs to kind of what I saw, and obviously the offensive line part, I'll get into that. The snap that you mentioned, that's a couple weeks in a row now that I'm not too sure what's going on with that, right? Like, I can't really speak to that and what's happening there. Now, at home, when you hear a can-can, it's a lot different than what the regular cadence is. I don't think they've changed the cadence from when I was there with Matt and when Aaron was doing it to Jordan, so to hear the can and fire that thing back there, I don't really know what was happening. And if he didn't really want to talk about it afterwards, it means he just made a big mistake and fired that ball back there. And obviously you can't have that. And then obviously it was a bad snap the week prior. Those are just, I don't even know what to call them. They're just errors that shouldn't happen that happen, and it's unfortunate, right? Like, and you hate to see it happen to Sean Ryan because he got moved into a position that he had been playing well in, And then all of a sudden these two things happen and they're big moments in games that, and turnovers and things like that, you just can't have happen. And it's unfortunate, but I think the offensive line, it's such a up and down thing to me with them at times. Like there's times that they look really good and they look like everything's clicking along. And then there's just stretches where it just doesn't look right. And you could see breakdowns and protection and things like that. And Willis has to kind of try to get out and move. And Baltimore's got a solid defense, but by no means are they like the best pass rushing team or anything like that in the league. But you just see breakdowns and protection that just shouldn't happen, right? And I only say this because you're going into playoff football, right? Like you're going again, now you're going to be starting to go against some of the best defenses if you make it past round one. Obviously, you know, Chicago's defensive line isn't, I wouldn't say the strongest, but they knocked Jordan Love out of the game and caused him to miss time. And I think Philly's defensive line, which we saw against Buffalo the other night, is starting to find their rhythm, find their pass rush, kind of disrupt the passer as they did to Josh Allen quite a bit
mm-hmm.
the other day. So those things have to be shored up, right? Like that has to be figured out. And we still come back to the same thing that the run game, and this has kind of been the start, you know, this has been the issue from the start of the season. The run game just hasn't been as consistent to take that pressure off of them in passing situations or not make them as relying on, hey, we got to be more pass blocking than we do run blocking. And to me, that's kind of been the biggest issue with the season as a whole for this group, is that they were so good run blocking last year and it took so much pressure off them, you know, pass blocking, that now they're having to be more reliant on pass blocking, and that's maybe not their strongest suit as of at least right now, right, with the group that they have. And it's something to say, you know, if we throw the ball 20 to 25 times a game, we can be solid. But when you start to get over that and you start to click to the 30 and up number of throwing the football, and you're starting to get into protections where it's third and long, so you're going to be in scat two or two jet, which are five or six man protections, and guys are on islands, it creates issues at times. And you know, that's, again, something they have to shore up. And again, I know I'm saying it in week 17, and it's almost, season's almost over, but if you're going to want to do anything in the postseason, that has to be the thing that you clean up. And I don't know if you can clean it up at this point, right? Like, I'm not sure that's something that can be done, but guys kind of have to watch tape and be really critical of themselves and what's happening. And that to me is, the biggest thing for this group is how critical can you be of yourself? How many corrections can you make in a time span here and get this thing right the next 2 weeks? And I don't know how many guys are going to play against Minnesota.
Right. Who knows?
Like, I don't know how many guys are even going to play. And that's the part that worries me the most.
Do you want to see them play? Do you think they would benefit from playing?
Yes. Yes, I do. Mm. I do. And why I say that is, you're now on is this a three game skid right now?
Yes.
It's a three game skid. And if you play nobody against Minnesota, well, you can't play nobody. You got to play. Guys have to play. The roster's not big enough.
Right.
But if you don't play certain guys and get certain groups playing well and getting some confidence, and it was kind of the same way last year when they played Chicago in the last week. I was pretty adamant, they need to play guys. They need to play guys so this thing gets going in the right direction against Philly, and they didn't, and things kind of didn't look good against Philly. I feel the same way right now, that you're playing for something in this final game. Like, this is to get some momentum going, to get some confidence, because you're going on the road, you're going to go on the road again, so you might as well, like, treat this as a little test run. And that's mm-hmm. the way I would look at it. And I'm not saying you got to play Jordan Love if you're worried about that, but you got to play your entire offensive line. They need to play the entire game. This is a good defense to go against to get things sorted out. It just that's my opinion. And the defense, too. They need to play.
But I guess the problem with the problem with Love is if he clears protocol, he's actually healthier than your backup right now. So if you don't play Love, yeah, like Malik, I think, is even more banged up. So then you just go to Clayton Tune.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's good for anybody.
No, it's not. I mean, it's not good
for
anybody. It's
not even good for Clayton Tune.
No, it's not. It's not. It's not. It's not good for anybody. I understand that, and it's a tough position to be in. But at the same time, like, you have to play this week as you're trying to go out and win this thing. Like, this can't just be like, oh, we're just going to rest guys, and whatever's going to happen is going to happen. But we'll be ready
play
for
Jordan.
The playoffs. Yeah.
Yeah, because Jordan hasn't played now in a game and a half. Like, I would play Jordan. I feel like you can do enough things to protect him that you should be able to avoid some of these things.
I don't play Jacobs.
No.
I'm not playing Jacobs.
Yes. No chance.
I'm letting Jacobs sit. If Christian Watson's not in good condition. I don't know his health status right now.
I don't care what condition he's in. I'm not playing him either. I'm just putting him in a glass case. I'm not even risking it with him. You got plenty of other wide receivers.
Which I'm fine with. Zach Tom.
Yep, Zach Tom.
Like, Zach Tom's been beat up with the back and knee, so he can sit.
Yep.
I'm going to say this right, because if I'm Zach Tom, I'm trying to play.
Because you need the work, because you're rusty?
Yes. Yes, okay. I'm trying to play. I'm trying to, because you want to get things worked out before you go on a playoff push here. You got to get things worked out.
Okay.
And maybe if that's, you talk to the coaching staff, or you talk to Matt, or you talk to Butkus, or you talk to Steph, whoever it is, I need two quarters. I need to get a half in. I need to play ball. Cause like, and that should be like, at least my thought and my mindset, at least. Maybe this is just me and the way I used to operate, or the guys that I were always around. Like, if you're going to go into this postseason and think we're going to get things accomplished, like, you got to get some work in. You're on a 3-game skid. Things are not going right. We got to get some positive momentum going before we go on the road against Chicago or Philly. Like, that to me is like the most basic thing. And because if you're going to – say you do play Philly and you go back to that same atmosphere again, is it going to look much different than what we saw last year?
You know,
and that, to me, is what concerns me.
Yeah, I'll say this. I am a helicopter parent. You know that. I am a warrior by nature. I am team blue the whole way on this. I just think if you'd won 3 in a row and you're worried about losing momentum – and you're debating whether to play or not play and run the risk there, that's a different discussion. Losing 3 in a row, I think you need to get your sea legs back. So I'm team blue on this. All right, we kept you way too long. You've got a bowl game to get ready for on television. You've been a very good sport, even when Jesse was giving you a hard time. Blue, we're always smarter because of you. We appreciate you so much. Happy New Year, buddy, and we'll catch up with you later.
All right, guys, I'll see both of you on pregame this week.
Indeed you will.
Sunday.
Can't wait. Sunday, yep. Sunday, Sunday. All right, buddy. That is Brian Bulaga. He's a legend. He puts up with a lot from us, and we appreciate him for it. Jesse, you're going to tell us about Hard Rock Casino Rockford before we get to the 11 o'clock hour at 11:23.
You mean Mark Tauscher is going to tell you about Hard Rock Casino Rockford.
Oh, here we go.
Mark Tauscher here for Hard Rock Casino Rockford. Hey, you know my guy, Jell. He went down there with Barry Alvarez, did a couple of shows down there this football season. Happy birthday to Barry Alvarez today, huh? How about that? He's an old coach having his birthday today. Maybe he's celebrating by rolling some dice with Jesse down at the Hard Rock Casino Rockford. The Hard Rock Casino features over 175,000 square feet of gaming and entertainment space, including more than 1,300 slot machines, 50 live table games, a sports book, and a rock shop. And if you're hungry, guests like Jesse and Barry Alvarez can enjoy diverse dining options at the Hard Rock Cafe, Council Oak Steaks and Seafood, Bricked Italian Kitchen, the UU Noodle Bar, Street Tacos, and Constant Grind. The Hard Rock Live Entertainment Venue, 23,000 square foot premium concert and event space as well. It features more than 1,000 feet of LED screens to enhance the experience for up to 2,000 guests. Hard Rock Casino Rockford, a premier entertainment destination just off I-90 in Rockford, Illinois.
The 11 o'clock hour, which will last 37 minutes, starts in 2 minutes. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.